How did I do it? This is what people keep asking me. In fact, some people don't even believe that I did it. Did what? Write a book. Which book? This book. The Ulysses Files, my first ever novel. A complete novel, check it out. And some people are like, did you actually write that? Yes, I actually wrote it. Yes, I did write it. And they're like, well, how did you write it? And you know what? That's not that bad of a question, actually. I think it's quite an important question because, to be honest with you, it's taken a while to get here. And so what I thought I'd do is I would break with what I normally talk about on this channel, which is exclusively cars. And today I would do a video on how to write a book in which there are cars. You see, I made the car connection there, so just in case. But anyway, but how to write a book. Let's see, how did I actually write the Ulysses Files? I'll tell you everything right after this. A brown car guy. Right, so the first thing I've got to say, I mean, this is actually my 35th year as a motoring journalist, in my 35th year writing and creating content professionally. But even before that, even when I was a kid, I really enjoyed writing. I mean, there were two things that I always loved, even as a child. I should say there were probably three things that I loved as a child. One was writing, just the act of writing. And of course, then that involved reading as well. I used to read a lot of books at the time. Writing and reading, I loved it. Of course, I loved cars. That just came out of nowhere, and I've just always been drawn to them. So I've always had a passion for cars. And the third thing is, like, I've always been into science fiction. And as you can see, with the Starship Enterprise on the top of my shelf there, always been a huge Star Trek fan. Live long and prosper. So these three things were sort of always been there. But right from the beginning, even as a child, I always wanted to write stories. I wanted to tell stories. I remember writing stories in primary school. In fact, if I recall correctly, one of my stories was actually turned into a play in the school. So I remember as far back as then, and you know, if I go back and look at old papers and stuff, I find stories that I wrote when I was very, very young. And even now I'm like, well, that's not bad. Maybe I should rewrite it and publish it. Maybe I should. But anyway, I've always wanted to be a writer. And in fact, at one point, I was thinking of becoming, I also love comics, and at one point I actually did a comic book writing course, and this was before like getting full-time into motoring journalism, and I thought maybe that would be my career path. I would just go down the comic book writing path and create stories like that. I love the visual element of comics as well, but it didn't quite work out, although I did do a couple of small press publications, which I think you can find the portfolio of that. But if you go to the portfolio link on my website, I think you can find actually one of them. One of them was actually an Asian version of James Bond, so that you might find that quite interesting. But you can see the kind of theme that I was already setting even back then. So I've always wanted to write a book. So this has always been a thing. And then, like I said, I have written short stories. And even now I've written short stories. And some of those short stories are actually on my website, browncarguy.com. If you go into the menu and you click fiction, you'll actually find them. But I've never written like a complete novel, a complete book. And I've tried, actually, to be honest with you. Over the decades, I've actually tried several times. I would say at least four false starts I've had. But I've never really got beyond, I think chapter 3 was probably as far as I've ever got with these things. So what happened? What changed? How did I end up doing 13 chapters and 80,000 plus words of the Ulysses Files? I'm going to talk through that. I'm going to tell you about what actually I did and how I did it and what the processes were. I'm going to talk about everything. I'm going to break it down in quite a bit of detail. But what I will say before I do that is that, of course, writing is a very personal thing. And it's a creative process, it's a personal process. And I think that for everybody, it would be slightly different and maybe quite a bit different. So what I will tell you as the process and the method that actually worked for me to get this done may not work for everybody, but it's certainly something that I found just was perfect. And it got me to where I wanted to get to. But like I said, I just want to put a proviso in there that it's a unique process, it's a very personal process, and these things may not apply to everybody, but hopefully some part of this will be able to help you if you are thinking of writing something as substantial as a book. So what did I do? Well, the first thing, I wrote some notes down here to talk about, to explain to you what I've done. The first thing I wrote down is like, don't show your book to anyone until you finish writing it. because I've done that before a couple of times, and it was a mistake because, you know, people give you well-meaning feedback. You know, some people give you positive feedback, some people say, you know, this and that, but it's all well-meaning. But what happens, and actually, look, if you're able to take it and use it, then for some people that would work. But what actually happened with me was that it made me pause. It made me pause, and then that pause lasted years. I never unpaused, because it made me stop and think about what they were saying and think about, you know, should I incorporate it? Should I go back? Should I rewrite? Should I start again? And then just that thought process alone essentially kind of put me off, and I never actually went back to the books. So that's the number one thing. It's like, don't show your book to anyone. Despite these false starts, in 2023, I finished the ULEZ files. And what was the main sort of driving factor behind that? I think one of the main thing was that I was getting to that point where, like, you know, you get to that point in life where you start drawing up a bucket list, and you go, well, the novel has always been on my bucket list, you know? I just decided in 2023, I just made a mental note and decided to myself, this year, it's gonna happen. I'm gonna do it, no matter what. I've decided. There were a couple of conversations I had with some friends, some former colleagues who had written their books, and some podcasts that I did where we talked about books. And these things kind of served to inspire me a little bit as well and sort of renew my determination. So I set myself a deadline. I said, and this is also key to how to get this done, is, and this is the other problem with writing a book. So for example, I'm a freelance journalist. So the vast majority of my work is actually freelancing, creating content, basically writing articles for other outlets. And the main reason I always get that done is because I know that there's a deadline for those. So I know that there's a deadline, I get a commission, or I pitch and I get a commission, and then I know there's a deadline and I have to finish it by then. The trouble with creative writing, with your own writing, is that you don't have a deadline, you know? I mean, unless you're already a gainfully employed author and you have an agent and a publisher, that's different. But otherwise, you don't have a deadline. So you're kind of like, oh, I've got nothing to work to, oh, I'll get around to it, oh, when I have time, whatever, you know? But so what I did is I set myself a deadline. I said that I am actually going to publish this book before the holidays at the end of 2023. That's what I decided to do. So I set that deadline and I said, that's it. That's my deadline. I've got to hit that deadline no matter what. So that was one of the main things I did. So in order to do that, I went down the self-publishing route. So why did I go down the self-publishing route? There's three reasons why I did that. The first and probably the main reason was that at this point, writing this book and doing all this stuff and fulfilling that ambition, I figured I really couldn't handle the rejections. Because the problem with going down the traditional route of authorship, which is you write a book, and then first of all, you have to send it around to a whole bunch of agents to see if somebody will take you on. So that's the first aspect of it. You could try direct to publishers, but it's probably best to go through an agent. And then the second aspect of it is then that agent sends it off to various publishers, and the vast majority of them send you rejection notes. So that's a whole heap of rejection, which is going to have an emotional and mental toil on you, especially after all the work that you have to do to create something like this. So I decided that I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put myself through that. I'm just going to self-publish it. The second reason was that because I had set that deadline, not only to finish the book by the end of the year before the holidays at the end of 2023, but also to get it out there. So the only way to do it at that speed and that quickly was to self-publish. And the other reason I wanted to do it that quickly was because, as you can see, I called it the ULEZ files. I think the ULEZ is quite a topical and current issue. So it wasn't something that I wanted to write and then leave in the process of, like, it would come out a year later. I mean, who knows what's going to happen after a year, right? So I thought, now is the time, strike while the iron is hot. Now is the time. If I'm going to call it the ULEZ files, I need to get out in 2023, or at least by the end of it. So that was the second reason. And the third reason for self-publishing is that it's so easy to do now. It really is. It's just amazing how easy, compared to like how the process is involved in the past. It's just, I mean, I'll go into more details later on in this video, but it's just staggeringly easy. So that was the way to do it. But once you've decided, I mean, obviously I've jumped ahead and I've told you that it's ULEZ files, but once you decided that you're gonna write a novel, what are you gonna write about? Because then that's the next big question, right? What are you gonna write about? And like I said, I've always been a fan of science fiction, and probably out of the four previous starts that I did, the first three were all science fiction related. And because I've always thought and imagined that I would be writing science fiction novels. I might still do. And I have written science. In fact, most of the stories on my website you'll see are actually science fiction. So that's what I thought I would do. But the last one that I tried a few years ago, I would say 5 years ago, five, 6 years ago now, I tried that. That was when I thought, you know, what they often say especially when you go to writing classes and author classes and stuff like that. So write about what you know. And although the wonderful thing about science fiction is that you don't need to know it. You can just make it up because it's fantasy, it's science fiction. But what do I know? I know cars. I know the world of cars. I know I'm a motoring journalist for 35 years. Like I said, content creator. I've just spent my whole time around cars and the car scene and petrol heads and all of that sort of stuff. So I thought I should write about that. I think the fourth attempt was. I think this is the fifth attempt. I would probably say this is the fifth attempt. So I think that's what that was. But then that stalled. So when I got to 2023, again, I thought, okay, let me stick with sort of cars. But the thing that was sort of overarchingly dominating my life in 2023 was my coverage of ULEZ. For those who don't know, ULEZ is the ultra low emission zone, which exists in London and which was expanded to cover the whole of London at the end of August in 2023. And I covered that whole thing, the protests around it, the pros and cons, the whole discussion, the interviews, arguments, the research, the data, the independent reports. I covered all of that. Spent most of my time in 2023 in terms of my own content creation covering that. So my head was literally packed with that. And of course, as an offshoot of that is the war on the motorists. You know, so all the things that are happening around legislation, around speed limits, around parking restrictions, around restrictions in cities, 15-minute cities, all of this sort of stuff that is that appears to be restricting the freedoms of motorists, and so is therefore perceived as the war on motorists, is something that was paramount and foremost in my head. So I thought, well, okay, this has got to be the theme. And of course, I thought calling it the ULEZ Files gives it that topical feel, gives it that current sense of being a current publication. So that's how I came to the decision that it's got to be about ULEZ. Right, so once you've decided that this is what it's going to be about, the second thing, as I've said, I've written quite a few short stories. So short stories I have done, but this is a big jump up. And here's the thing, short stories, the difference between short stories and something like this is that with short stories, you start a story. So you have an idea in your head, you start it and you run with it. And there's no, I mean, unless you're doing it to a commission, there's no number limit on it. So you can go as short as you, the short story could be a paragraph long, could be a page long, or you could write a 5,000 word short story, you know, maybe more. There's no necessity that it has to be a certain amount of words or something, a short story. So the great thing about short stories is you can start it, and then when you feel that it's come to a conclusion, it's come to a conclusion. That's it. You're like, okay, it's done. That's it. And I don't need to do anything more with that, you know. The trouble is that when you're writing a novel, you're looking at, and when I researched it was between 60 and 90,000 words that you have to write. So to get at least a novel, not even a novelette, because a novelette is like a shorter version, I would say like half the size of a novel. So an extended short story, if you like. But a novel, we're looking at 60 to 90,000 words. So fair amount. So that compared to say, you know, maximum, say 5,000 words for a short story. And as I said before, in the past, when I've tried to do novels, I've done that. And I've tried it to do it the same way that I would do the short stories, which is what I have an idea and I'll just go with it and I'll just see where it goes. And then of course the problem with that is that very soon you lose your way or you run out of steam or you just can't figure out where to take that story next because, you know, you just hadn't thought that far ahead. You hadn't planned that far ahead and you hadn't sort of formed the skeleton of the story going forward. And I think this is the key thing. So what I did with this one, and a key thing to do with any story obviously, is you figure out where you're going to start it and you figure out how you're going to end it. And then the key thing is the middle bit. And like I said, in a short story, you just start, you've got a rough idea where you're going and you can just find your way until you get there, because that doesn't have to be very far away. So in terms of a novel, of course, we're talking, you know, like I said, 60,000 to 90,000 words, it's a lot more. So what I decided to do then, is I said, okay, well, let me break this down. Let me decide that there are going to be 13 chapters. So this is what I did. I said, okay, there's 13 chapters. So 13 pages in Word documents. I created 13 separate pages, and I said, right, these are the 13 chapters. And then I decided the word count, and I said, okay, so the average word count says 5,000 words for every chapter. That would take me to a total of 65,000 words. In fact, in the end, I think it was 80,000 plus words in the end. So I wrote a bit more than I was anticipating. But anyway, at least that way you've got target. And like I said, since I'm already in the mindset to write short stories, I can write a short story up to 5,000 words. So I thought, okay, each chapter is 5,000 words. I know I can do that. So, and then if I have 13, I get to 65,000. That's definitely a novel. So that's what I did first of all. 13 chapters. I know where it starts. I know where it ends. But there's 13 chapters to get from here to there. So how do you figure out how that's going to happen? Like I said, I created the pages for each one. And then what I started to do was would plan and plot every single chapter individually in quite substantial detail. So it's almost short of writing the chapters themselves, but just like writing so much detail into every single chapter. And then this basically gives you a skeleton of the novel. So from here to there, you start that whole process. So you've written all the plot first. Before you've written a single word of prose that's going to go into the actual novel, you've planned the whole thing out. So therefore, you're not going to stumble when you're actually writing the novel because you already know what every chapter is doing. And it could change, you know, that's another thing. But by doing this, you're able to plan it out. You're able to know what characters are going to be in it, where they're going to be in it, how often they're going to be in it. You're able to decide the subplots because you can then insert them across the thing. You've got the overarching theme and you can make sure that that theme goes all the way across because you can see all the chapters. You can make sure that it flows well because then you can see how it's flowing, how much action there is, how much dialogue there is in each chapter. And then you can see that it flows well and there's a good, and again, that sets the pacing and the tone of it. So you can do that. So by doing all of that, and then also by doing that, you also make sure that you tie everything up because then, you know, rather than you're writing 60,000 words, you've forgotten what happened, what have you. But because you planned out, you know that I've got to tie up that plot line, I've got to tie up that character, I've got to do this. And when you're doing your individual chapter plans and plots, then you can actually make sure you've done it at that stage. So at that stage, you know that you've done justice to the story, you've done justice to the characters, and you've even done justice to any subplots that might exist in there. But like I said, expect a lot of this to change when you're actually writing it, but at least you have this. When you're writing it, the story kind of takes on a life of its own as well. So some things change, but I'll come back to that. So that's what I did first. I've got to say that that was probably, I would say, 2 or 3 week process. Just to do that bit. It was a 2 to 3 week process. And then once I had that, then I knew that certain things that were going to happen in the story, certain places we were going to go, I need certain devices, I needed certain bits of action to happen, I needed certain plots that depended on perhaps technicalities or technical information or scientific information. So by doing that, I was then able to go, okay, I've done that, that's there. Now I can go and research all the stuff. And of course now with Google and this and that, with everything, it's so much easier to research. But I was able to say, let me get all the research done first so that all of these things that I've come up with actually make sense. And in fact, I would say research, not only on Google and stuff by that, but for example, with certain locations where I set the storyline, I took the time to go to those locations and to see those locations and to see if what I'd imagined could actually happen in those places. I mean, again, we're talking fantasy, we're talking fiction. It doesn't have to be realistic, entirely realistic, but there has to be some sense of realism. So you go to the places and you go, okay, well, could that be possible? Or does that work? Or is that there? And then you go to the places and you get new ideas and you get, oh, actually, well, that couldn't work, but this could work. So when I came back, then again, I had to tweak and change certain plot lines. And again, with my research on stuff, I had to tweak and change certain things, you know. So by doing all of that, you've got all of that out of the way. And the good thing about that is that once you've done that, and I would say that would took just over a month to do all of that. Yeah, just at least a month, probably took a little bit more than a month to do that. Let's say a month and a half to do that. So once I had all of that, then you know that, well, then your writing is uninterrupted, pretty much uninterrupted, because you've done all the groundwork first. You've done all the research, you've planned the novel. Also, the other thing I did, I should mention, I think I forgot to mention, did I not put that in my notes? I forgot to mention, is that, oh no, there it is. I also wrote character descriptions, detailed character descriptions and backstories for a lot of the main characters. So, which you'll never see, which that information never made it into the novel. But the advantage of doing that was that I got to know these characters. So I, as the author, as the person who's creating this world and putting these characters in them, and then putting those characters through different scenarios, I feel like I need to know more about them in order to do that. So then I created these backstories, I created the character description, I created all of that, and I put it into use in when I was starting to write. So I felt like I really knew these people because I had created, this is only the main characters, but I did that. And another advantage actually that I did which is a trick that I don't think anybody else will tell you. And this is the thing about what I'm doing today. A lot of authors, and this is, I must say, I'm not a professional, established author or anything like that. And there are great workshops out there and there are great courses by proper pro authors. But I'm just telling you my experience on how I achieved this. And one of the things I did, which I found quite interesting, and it's something I'll come back to in a minute, I took some of those character descriptions, quite detailed in some cases, and I put them into an AI software. DALL-E is what I used. That's DALL-E. And I put them into there, and it actually generated the images of some of the characters. So some of the images that you've seen that I've used in the promos, so I've used quite a lot of character images in the promos that I've done for the book. Some of those were done as far back as the beginning. And it was great because then you can actually visualize your character. You can see them. Kind of makes them more real. They're like, oh, that's who they are. That's what they look like. Then you know, like, how they'll behave and how they'll talk and how they'll walk and all of this stuff. It's quite extraordinary. So that really helped. So I was able to create these character bios, and then also in each of these folders for each of these characters, I was then able to put in pictures of them as well, which were generated by AI. So it would actually give me a real understanding of what they looked like, what they wore, how they, you know, all of that sort of stuff. So that really, really helped. Right, so having done all of that, once I had started the writing, the momentum was actually better than I've ever experienced before because I had all of this stuff. And it was almost like I couldn't wait to start writing this now because I'd done the research, I'd created the story, I'd established that all of it worked and made sense. Then I'd created all the characters and got to know all the characters. I couldn't wait to now put them in their world and get them to do stuff. So almost the momentum of it, I've never experienced momentum when trying to write a novel as I did on this one because of all that pre-work that I had done beforehand. So that really, really helped. It also meant that I never paused, I never stalled, because I already knew what was happening in every chapter. I should just say that, of course, sometimes that changed. Several times it did change. You know, some things I moved from one chapter to another, I moved them around, some chapters I made longer, some I made shorter. So it's not exactly the same now in the book as it was in my original plan, but that's fine, because the story comes to life. You know, the characters start to do their own little things, you know. It's kind of weird, because suddenly you go, no, actually, that character wouldn't do that. Let's take that one out, let's put that one in. So things do change, but that's okay because you've got the overall framework and you can tweak bits in the middle of it, and it doesn't really stop you too much because you still pretty much know what you're doing and where you're going, but you have the ability to tweak it when it happens. You know, you could come up with a better idea and stuff, and you shouldn't be afraid to do that. Once you've written it on the plot, don't feel that that's cast in stone. Even when you're writing your first draft, it's not cast in stone. You can keep changing it. If you've got a better way of doing it, a better idea, a new idea, a new tactic, or a character just decides to do something different, which can happen, believe me, they do take on a life of their own. That's how it worked. So the writing process itself, that's how it went. Took over 3 months, I would say. So the total time to do this, to create this, I would say about 5 months, yeah? So total time of actually writing, I would say just took over 3 months to write it. And I was writing all hours, especially I would say in the last month, because I could feel that I was getting to the end. I was probably up till about 3 o'clock every night, you know. And also the good thing is, like, because everybody else is asleep, it's quiet, there's no distractions, no internet, no TV, no phone, no nothing, and I can just focus on this, which is what you need to do. Which is that's the really difficult bit, is to find that discipline to work on it. But like I said, this is the thing that most authors struggle with, is the discipline to find that time to write something, to get yourself into that mood. But like I said, because I had done all of that other work, because I'd done the research, I'd created the characters, I created the plot line, the discipline of creating time to write the novel didn't actually raise itself as a problem, because I couldn't wait to do it. Because now that I'd created them, I couldn't wait to tell their story. So to me, it was kind of weird. It was the opposite. It was like everything else in life kind of became a distraction. And everything else was like, okay, can I finish? Let me finish this article quickly. Let me do that quickly. Let me go that place quickly, because I want to come back and I want to get on with this, because I want to tell, I want to see what happens next. You know, I want to see how this goes, you know, so I want to do it. So the momentum was extraordinary by doing this. And it's almost like, you know, I didn't mind staying up all night, because I was like, oh, I've got to get it. You know, it was just flowing. It was just happening. You know, they talk about the flow. And a lot of the times that just happened and it just came. So that was really, really good. Once I had written it, first draft, I then rewrote it. And then I rewrote it again. You have to, because each time you go through it, you think, oh, that was crap. Every time I read, even now, I dare not read too much of that because I know I'm going to go, ah! But that's what you got to do. So basically, there were three drafts, three major drafts that were overhauled. And draft three probably will have very little of draft one in it, but that's just the way it goes. And then I did two additional, that's why I did two proofreads then after that. So a total of five drafts, I would say, because then two proofreading drafts. Now, I will say at this point that I now feel, and like I said, that, you know, I really flinch when I try and read it myself now, because now at this point, I feel that actually three rewrites, or two rewrites, I should say, so three initial drafts were not enough. I think I should have done three rewrites or maybe four rewrites, you know, maybe certainly at least, you know, three rewrites. And then in terms of proof, I think two were definitely not enough. I think three or maybe even four proof going through it again. But the problem that I had was, first of all, I had set that deadline. So I was like, no, I have to do it by that deadline. So I was going to go through it. And then I did the proof, and then I decided I was going to do the proofreading myself. And the reality, although I know for a fact that proofreading your own work is almost impossible. I mean, there are some people who can do it, but certainly for me, I know it's very, very difficult. And that very often with the articles that I write for other people, I'll write the article and I'll leave it for a day and come back to it as if it's somebody else's article, because then that helps me to proofread it. But it's a really difficult process. And really what I should have done at that point is hire an editor. And that's what you should do. And then I would recommend that strongly to you, is that at that point, once you feel that you've done your bit as far as you can go with it, is then hand it over to an editor, a professional book editor. Because then they will just check it, they will make sure that it works, they will correct it, and they will go through all the grammar and spelling and all the rest of it. For me, it was two things. First of all, I was self-publishing and I was on a very tight budget, i.e. none whatsoever. And secondly, I was on that deadline and I wanted to actually get it out. So I wasn't going to wait for anybody to go through it. I was like, I'm going to get this book out. And also at the time, like I said, after the two proofreads, I felt, and also I use software as well. So I use stuff like Grammarly to help me go through it. And Grammarly was actually really, really good. So it weeded out a lot of stuff. So that was really good. So it would have been a lot worse if I hadn't run it through there first. So I ran it through there, like, I think like 1.5 times, like one time for the whole thing and then individual bits, which I rewrote, ran it through again. So that really helped. But of course, evidently it's not perfect because stuff still gets through. So there is stuff that got through. But by and large though, I think it was spot on. So I felt like I could do it myself. I would say probably it's 80%, 85% there. Maybe there's just a 15%, you know, which is maybe there's a few errors, few spellings, a few grammatical things, maybe, you know, a few things like that. But other than that, I think it's almost there. But I would recommend that you get somebody else to do that bit. Right, so now we move to publishing and Amazon Kindle. That's it. That's your answer. It's as simple as that. Sign up to it. It's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. It pretty much takes care of everything. It'll even give you an ISBN number, which every book is supposed to have. You know, if you just do an ebook, you don't necessarily need one, but you should get one anyway, because they will always do a print as well. And the great thing about Amazon is, like, you know, in the past, you had to self-publish. You'd have to send it away, get it typeset, get it done, then get it printed, then buy a bunch of copies and store them somewhere. You'd have to do all that. Nowadays, no, because Amazon does print on demand. So you put it into there and they'll print it. So you don't have to get any copies printed. So people buy the copies, Amazon will just print it and send it to them. They print on demand. And plus, top tip, if you didn't know this, because I didn't know this, is that although that's quite pricey, and to be honest, you don't really see much on that cost. You know, you barely see, like, you know, 10, 15% of the cover price. But if you want to buy copies from Amazon for yourself, which I have done, and that's part of the cost to me that it's been, plus I spent quite a bit of money on social media advertising, but you can get those at cost price. So for the order, they do auto copies and they do those at cost price. So you can buy them at cost price. They're still not cheap, but, you know, at least, like, you're not paying full whack for them. So they take care of everything, and they do even the layout. And so I uploaded my document, Word document, and they figured out, the software in Amazon figures out where the chapters are and does the layout. So it breaks it down, does the pagination, and breaks it down into the actual chapters and stuff like that. It figures it all out, does all the layout for you. You can even then do the cover. Now, my initial idea was, so like I said, I used DALL-E, DALL-E, to do some of the artwork for this book. And part of that process, I did the cover. I imagined what the cover was like. It took me several attempts to talk to the AI to get what I wanted, and I got an image. And then my actual intention was then, because it wasn't exactly perfect, but, you know, it was almost there, was to then hand that image to an artist to get it done properly, and then use that as the book cover. But again, A, time was an issue because I was like, I was determined to get the book out by a certain date. And B, again, it was going to be a costly exercise to do it that way. I have a very dear friend who's a graphic designer, Zahid Bashir, who kind of then at that point took over for me. Because then he looked at that original graphic and he said, actually, with a few tweaks, you can just use this one. This is actually fine and I can make it work. And then he did the cover layout, he did the fonts and all the rest of it. He checked the layout of the book as well. So he helped me out with the layouts and all the rest of it. So you do need professional help on that part. Although with the cover, with doing the spine and the back, that was all done on Amazon. So Amazon will let you do that bit and will let you fill in the boxes and stuff like that. Amazon will even help you design a cover. So you can actually go, they have a process where you can go on there and they'll design, they've got artwork and stuff on there, you can do it. But I had a very specific thing that I wanted to create, a specific type of image that I wanted on the cover, so therefore I had to do it this way. Once you've done all of that and Amazon has done all the hard work for you and you know you got the layout done and you should get the editing done and stuff like that, then I'd love to be able to say that at this point you just hit the publish button, you sit back and you watch the sales rack up. Unfortunately, no. And this is the problem. Although, like, I've just extolled the virtues of self-publishing and explained to you like how it's emotionally fantastic to be able to do it that way, but also it's very, very easy to do it that way. But here's the downside. If you go to a professional publisher, they handle everything after this point. So they will promote the book, they will market the book, they will have events, they will push it, they will do whatever they can do to get sales of that book. Once you've pressed publish on Amazon, it just sits on Amazon. That's it. You know, Amazon's not going to promote it for you, you know, unless they find that it's selling really well. So there's the irony. If it's selling really well, then they'll promote it, but they won't promote it initially. Because obviously they want sales. So if they say, oh, this book is selling well, then they'll further promote it. But if it doesn't sell well, they're not going to do anything. So it's all down to you. So this is one of the things I hadn't realized. This is the next part of the process. And like I said, I've already spent quite a lot of money on social media advertising myself, although it hasn't been that as effective as I'd hoped it had been, or maybe I haven't figured out the strategies yet. So this is a whole other part, which I ain't gonna tell you how to do because I haven't figured it out myself, but you gotta know that if you're gonna go down this route, then you'll have to do all the marketing and all that aspect of it yourself. Otherwise you're not gonna sell even a single copy. It's as simple as that. There's no reason anybody will buy this copy. Maybe your family will buy it. They won't actually, because they just get yours. But maybe your friends might, but that's it. So you have to do all of that. And that's the really, really tricky part. And that's why at the end of all of this, you then have to then decide whether it was worth it. And you'd probably be right in thinking that it's probably not worth it. So I must warn you right now, you know, if you think that the road to riches lies down the route of authorship, you're probably wrong. And I'm probably wrong. But the thing is, like, we all do things for our own reasons. And like I said at the beginning, it was always my dream, my desire, my ambition to have a book published in my name. I've done everything in media. You know, I've done print, I've done digital, I've done YouTube, I've done content creation, I've done radio, I've done television, I've done everything. But the one thing that I've never done is publish a book with my name on it. So, although ironically I say my name on it, but I use a pseudonym, BC Guy, Brown Car Guy, on it. That's just because I figured my audience would know, they know me better as Brown Car Guy, so I figured that would be the way to go. But anyway, But it's me. It's a pseudonym. It's me. I know it's me. Everybody knows it's me. So for me, it was a dream come true, really. It was something that I had to do. It was something I had to leave all of us creative types want to leave a legacy behind, right? And a book is kind of like that, because the book will outlive you, you know? So it's just something that I needed to do. I had to do. I wanted to do. And I think that's the key thing, is like, before you do any of this, you got to decide what your motivation is. If your motivation is that you're going to become a millionaire and sell tons and tons of books and get a movie deal and stuff like that, and that's why you're going to do it, forget it. You know, you might as well buy a lottery ticket. Better odds, honestly, better odds, buy a lottery ticket. But if you want to do it because you just got to do it, and you really want to do it, and you really want to tell a story, and you really feel the need to tell a story, then I would recommend it. I'd highly recommend it. Go down this route. If you think you're like an exceptional writer, if you really have that strong self-belief, and you really are quality work, then I would go down the route, the traditional route of getting an agent, getting a publisher. That's your best bet. To actually make money off this, because they will do the hard work for you. So that's your best bet, but be ready for a whole heap of rejections before you get a bite. That's just the way publishing is. But if you want to just publish something because you really feel you want to and you need to, and you feel it's worthy enough to do so, then the self-publishing route is the way to do it. So will I do it again? I don't know. That depends on you. It all depends on the ULEZ files, selling enough copies to justify going through that process again because it's intense. That's the one thing I will say. It's an intense process. You become obsessive. It takes over your life. But no, it's worth it. I'm very happy. I've got a novel. It's there. It's out there. Will I do another? I don't know. You tell me. Is it worth it? Let me know in the comments below. I hope you enjoyed this. I'll catch you all in the next video.
In London streets, where politics and power collide, The Ulez Files by Brown Car Guy is a thrilling new novel depicting a high-stakes battle for the roads. Join Max Turner, a motoring journalist, as he uncovers a plot to control car ownership and personal liberties. With agent Eleanor Rodriguez and tech genius Fox Jackson, they race against time through London's iconic streets. It's a narrative that questions the balance between environmental policies and individual rights. For fans of cars, action, and political intrigue, The Ulez Files promises high-speed chases, tactical ingenuity, and a fight for justice. Available now, exclusively on Amazon.com. The Ulez Files by Brown Car Guy. Get your copy today. Brown Car
Guy. This just arrived. This is the first print from Amazon of my book, my first novel, my first book. And so this is the first time I'm going to see it myself. And it's not coming out. Oh, it's a thicky, isn't it? Thick book, this one. Look at this. The Ulez Files. Check it out. Oh, my God. And, yeah, there I am on the back of it. Thing and then picture and little bio. What does it look inside? Oh, it's not too bad. Oh, this is not bad at all. Oh, check that out. Look at that. My first novel! Yay! Brown Card
Guy. And listen, I bagged myself a copy of the Ulez Files. It might not be mine, but I give this a full endorsement. I'm going to be reading this from cover to cover, and then I'll give it to Susan.
Awesome. Thanks so much, buddy.
You're more than welcome. Good to see you.
By the way, I liked your book, Good Read, and you can use that.
Brown Car Guy. Now, Brown Car Guy has written a Ulez novel called the Ulez Files. He's going to sign this from cover to cover later. We'll get them signed. But lovely novel. It's very interesting. It's lots of good reviews, Brown Car Guy. What do you think of your novel?
What do I think of it? I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, of course it's brilliant. And it is. Now, well done. Hey.
Here's what people are saying about Brown Car Guy's new debut novel, The Ulez Files. Great novel, well written, uncannily portrays a real life story.
This is a really good book to read, had me wanting more at every new chapter. The characters in the book are very inspirational.
Thoroughly enjoyed it from start to finish.
A real page turner, absolutely worth the read. Really hoping there's more books to come. Fantastic read, I would recommend all car fanatics, car owners, drivers, soon to be drivers of all ages should consider this book.
Get your copy now at Amazon.com. Brown Car
Guy. Hope you enjoyed that video. If you did, please hit the like button and share this video as well if you can. And while you're at it, check out these guys who also sponsor my content. I am deeply grateful to them because it helps me to buy new equipment, put fuel in the cars, and yes, buy a cup of coffee. You can do the same. Just go here or right here on YouTube. Just hit these three little dots down here and click on thanks. Make sure you're signed in first. My content is free, but this is how you can help me keep it that way. I may even send you a gift. Oh, by the way, watch this next.